switch the lights. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. My name is Liana, for the visitor. I'm going to be sharing this morning very shortly. But let us pray. God, we honor you and we honor your presence. We delight this morning to be in your house and to meet with you. We worship you, Jesus. We love you. And we yield our hearts to you this morning. Thank you for the specific work that you want to do in each of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that more than we've come to meet with you, you've been here to meet with us. And thank you that we were able to get into your presence, Lord. You've invited us in. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe this morning, as I was preparing, the Lord wants to give us a specific time with him. They stayed over with Raina's parents last night, so she hasn't seen me. I want to encourage you to set your heart on the Lord this morning and on Jesus. And if you had an expectation to come for a message this morning, that's not what we're going to do this morning. And that is good. It's good to come for a message sometime. But this morning, I believe Jesus wants to connect us to his heart. And last year, we've been to Indonesia, myself and Raina. And if you want to hear the whole story, come and ask us. It was pretty incredible. It's the biggest Muslim nation in the world. They're having the biggest revival at the moment. 2 million Muslims converting to Christianity per year. And we saw some very encouraging things in the church there. I believe the first time that I've encountered a real revival. And when we were there, we attended the church prayer meeting before church, and everyone was praying in Indonesian, so couldn't understand. But fortunately, we can pray in tongues. And as we were praying, I had such a realization about who God is. There was just such a presence of God in the place. And I last remember experiencing that when I got saved 14 years ago. I just had such a revelation again about how good God is and how big he is. But it wasn't just in my mind. It was just I encountered God. And I suddenly, in that moment again, understood how... it's like I saw my sin and I saw... it felt so unbelievable to me. I just had this thought, like, you are so good. You've given me so much. Why are there some aspects in my life where I'm not choosing that? Why am I allowing some things in my life that makes no sense at all compared to who you are? Why would I choose some of these things? And I was just repenting before God, and it wasn't a premeditated repentance. It was just being in God's presence. It was just a natural reaction. And I haven't experienced it to that degree with that conviction since, I think, when I got saved, what I last remember. And we've seen there how they pray, and they have a prayer room, and that is because why we started the prayer room here. And the way that they pray in the prayer room is they have worship, and it's 24/7. There's a band, live worship, trusting God, looking towards God, worshiping towards God, opening the way into his presence. As we know, because we blessed with an amazing band in church, we experience that all the time. And then people can come in and out, and people pray out loud. Sometimes they come in and they pray out loud. Sometimes they pray softly. Sometimes they're just worshiping. Sometimes they read scripture. But people don't interact. No one listens to the other one. It's not... The purpose of that prayer room is not for the prayer of agreement like we do in intercession. The purpose is for each person to pray. And then there's a communion prayer that happens. So no one is listening to each other or interacting. Everyone is communing with God. But it's like, you know, when you're at home and you have your secret time with God, there's a connection between you and God. And you have a history in your life of every time that you've connected to God and how you walk with him through your days. And it's like everyone brings that connection into the same room. And it all just comes together. So you've seen the times on the screen. There's certain times when we don't have a band 24/7. We'll grow there. But we have a band certain times, and then you can come and join us in the prayer room. And I'm just going to share a few scriptures, and then that's what we're going to do. The band is going to come back up, and we're just going to have a time of worship. And it's going to be for you just to pray, to read your Bible, to connect to Jesus. You know, meditation, I was at Jamie Lee and Armand's wedding last night. Just so wonderful. And I was sitting next to a Hindu man, and we had a long discussion about meditation. And it's so important for him. He grew up from very young. He grew up with yoga and Eastern meditation. And it's all about cleaning your mind and emptying your mind. It was interesting for me to find out some years ago that meditation actually started with, it didn't start with Christianity, but a lot of meditation came from Christianity, where people would meditate on the Word of God. In some church denominations, in their liturgy, so the kind of order of service, the time when the pastor shares the word, they call that meditation. And godly meditation is not to empty your mind, and it's not only just about your mind, it's your whole being, but it's to continuously yield to God. When we come into the presence of God, are we implying that there is somewhere where His presence is not? Also, when we invite God's presence, sometimes that's that seems strange, because if you really think about it, do you believe He is everywhere? So if He's everywhere, then why do we say we come into His presence? But the thing is, God is very gentle, and He allows us choice. And it's not Him coming to us. He's here. He's always there. It's us coming to Him. And each one of us, and collectively as a community, we decide how much we surrender to Him. And this is a lifelong process of learning to surrender to God, learning of trusting Him, giving ourselves to Him. But there's definitely, and that's, we're not ever implying that God is not somewhere, and then He comes and then He's there. But what I'm talking about is when we grow in our capacity to surrender ourselves to Him, and that is something that also the band facilitates. They themselves surrender to God and they worship Him. So they allow more of His presence through them. And that affects us. You know, Tiens Jacobs, he's the pastor in Shepherd Gardens. Years ago, he was speaking at Jamison Hall when we were all there. And he spoke about Cape Town. And he said that something like pornography, that the spiritual reality is that if one person uses pornography, he thinks in his mind it only affects him. But the spiritual reality is that it affects everyone he meets, because there's an importation, there's a carrying. And the converse is true. If you, the amount to which you surrender to the Lord, you allow His presence to work through you, does not only affect you, it affects everyone around you. That is why, and it's been so amazing for me in the prayer room, I really want to encourage you to go if you haven't gone. It's usually Mondays and Saturdays from 12 to 2, and some people have said that they can never make those times, so this month we added one Thursday evening, the 11th of May, from 7 to 9. So that's the slot for the non-Monday and Saturdayers. But it's really, I've really enjoyed it, and enjoyed God there. And you sometimes wonder why, you know, when I worship at home, it takes me a while to lay down my burdens, to get beyond the distractions. Sometimes I don't get beyond the distractions. But it takes a while, and it sometimes feels like hard work. Whereas when I walk into the prayer room, it's so instant. And it's because people are contending together and surrendering, and everyone affects the other one. That is why there's, you know, God says there's power in agreement. There's power in unity. There's literally something that happens when it comes together. We're going to trust God for that this morning. And I just want to share a few scriptures and some more videos. That was from the movie Son of God. It's a very powerful movie. I think sometime we'll watch it at our house and invite people. So if you want to come, send me a WhatsApp. Then I'll let you know when we watch the whole one. But I just want to share a little bit about Peter's life before we're going to spend time with Jesus. I just felt in my preparation God wants to speak to some of us specifically through the life of Peter. So we're doing the last of the series, What I Wish They Told Me About God. And what I'm speaking about this morning is what I wish they told me about God, how he loves. And the life of Peter is quite, there's quite a variety of situations where we can see how God loves. And have anyone got their Bibles here? I'm not going to use slides. I never use slides. I'm going to encourage you to bring your Bible. I think it's good for us to fall back in love with our Bibles. It's all really great that we get Bibles on our phones, but our phones also have WhatsApp and Facebook. So I want to encourage you to not fall out of love with your literal Bible, because there's a lot of benefits to it. I'm going to look at how Peter was called by God, Luke 5 verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. He, Jesus, sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O God." So we see when Jesus comes to call Peter, there we see that first spontaneous repentance. And then, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken." And the first point I want to make this morning, how he loves. He loves us when we've not yet come to him. That's the first place where Jesus loves. He loves us in our daily walk. This was probably what Peter did every day of his life, fishing. Jesus loved him in his fishing. He came and he spoke to him. He knew him. He came and he spoke to him in the thing that he knows, in the way that he knows. And I want to encourage you, when we're going to spend time with Jesus now, you know, because we're not going to meditate to empty our minds, sometimes when you spend time with God, your mind wanders. Okay, so who's had that feeling? So what I want to tell you is that sometimes that's God. So sometimes it's not, but sometimes it's God. So don't try too hard. Have you tried when your mind wanders to keep it back on track? Has that worked out for you? Sometimes God is actually wanting to show you something, and he's using the way that you normally think to guide you down a path. And I would rather recommend that when your mind starts to wander, of course, if it's something distracting, in the sense that if you're starting to see naked people or think of swear words or something like that, then that's not God. But if it's normal kind of thinking about your life and your day or people or whatever, the world, I would recommend let it go for a bit. And say, like, "God, I'm giving, where my mind is going, I'm giving that to you, guide it." And see, maybe God speaks to you through that. He often comes to speak to us in the way that we think. So his voice can sometimes sound like your thoughts. And you will learn with time. Don't be afraid to let it go there. You will learn with time what was God and what was not. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Of course, we know Peter was also the one where they were. It's in John 6, if you want to look it up, the 16, who was in the boat in the storm, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and then he wanted to walk on the water, and he stepped out of the boat, and he took one or two steps, and then he sank. And then Jesus pulled him out, which is a good thing, because I'm pretty sure that he couldn't swim. So it's a bit more serious than we might think. If you can swim, then you might not have thought through the consequences for Peter. And that is my second point. God, how he loves when we step out in faith, but he also loves when we fail. He is not upset or surprised by our failures. John 18, verse 15 to 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard, but Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers who had made the fire, Peter stood there and warmed himself. And then we know in the next part, verse 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Another experience that Peter had of failure. Jesus telling him, this is where you will fail, and then that actually happening. John 21, verse 15. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." So after everything is done and Jesus has died and he's rose again, he returns to Peter. He said to him a second time, "Jesus, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, I know that you love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And this is another way in which Jesus loves. He loves us in our restoration. There's a video on YouTube. It's a spontaneous song by Mr. Edwards. I knew what I was getting into when I called you. Sorry, let me just get the lyrics. It's one of those that's worth looking at if you would be interested. I'm just going to read you the lyrics. It's interesting how soon we sometimes forget that God sees outside of time. You know, even in things that are happening for us as a church family, when we went through shaking in our family, for us as a country, lots of things happening politically, on campus, the protests, all these kind of things. None of it surprises God, do you know that? We sometimes forget that he knew all of this would happen. The lyric says, "I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into when I said your name, but I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I'm not shocked by your weakness. I'm not shocked by even your sin. I'm not shocked by your brokenness. I know what I was getting into, and I still want you. Because I can see the end from the beginning, and only I can see where this is going. And only I can see the end from the beginning, and I see in you the seeds of love. And I see your strength when all you see is your failure and you feel ashamed. I can see deeper than that because I know you better than that." And then towards the end she says, "Don't give up and don't give in. If you don't quit, you win." And this came out years ago, and it was actually quite a turning point for me. And I downloaded this video, and then I watched it probably about 20 times, no jokes. And I cried every time. I just cried and cried. I think I got healed a lot through listening to it, really understanding that at the beginning it was strange to me to think that God is not shocked by my sin. I'm not saying sin is wrong. Sin is wrong. And I'm not saying God is okay with sin. But it doesn't surprise him. And this is so evident in the life of Peter. Read you the most hectic one for me. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So I'd say that should be the highlight of your life. You have this incredible revelation about who Jesus is, and Jesus says to you, God has revealed that to you. So you've heard directly from God, and Jesus confirmed that you've heard the truth. You've just had this revelation. And Jesus goes on to say, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is a huge statement. And saying, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The kind of trajectory I would take from there is straight up. I mean, really, if that's just happened, surely it's going to go. And then we just read on, and it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And Jesus, he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. I think he took a pretty big fall. And it's so refreshing to see this in Scripture, because I think we experience it so often. And to see this in Scripture is also to see that, you know, because of what I think what happens with us is you have some breakthrough, you have some connection to God, you have a revelation, you overcome something, and the next moment there's a fall, a dip, and you think that the breakthrough was not real. Because surely if it was real, the next moment wouldn't have been a dip. And it's so refreshing for me to see in Scripture that we as humans are just that fallible. But it doesn't mean that the breakthrough wasn't real. It doesn't mean that the thing that God did, that he didn't do that. And in fact, even when God did that and confirmed to you that he did that in your life, in that moment, he knew that the very next thing you would do would be fall. But that didn't stop him, actually. He didn't think, so I'm going to say all this to Peter, but the next thing he's going to do is going to cause me to say, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. So maybe I shouldn't affirm him just now. Maybe I should wait for the fall, let it recover, and then do the affirmation. Because it's not going to look good for me if I affirm Peter, and in the next moment there's a crash. But God doesn't think like we think. God loves us in our weakness and in our frailty. And because of that, because of his love, so there's two schools of thought. The one goes, love wins, and because of his love, grace is unending, and there's not a pressure to stop sinning. The other school of thought goes, because of his love, and because he loves us in our weakness, and he's not surprised by our sin, the grace is not to sin. That's what the grace is for. The grace is the forgiveness and the ability, not for perfection, not to get it right now, but to continue to surrender, to continue to come in his presence, because that is the only place where the healing is, where the repentance is, and where hearts are changed. And the grace then is not to sin. And I believe this morning God really wants to bring us to, each one of us, to a place of healing. And specifically, I believe in the area of failure. So I just want you to close your eyes. Jesus, thank you this morning for your word and what we can see. And thank you for how you love us. And Father, we want to bring our failures to you this morning. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you illuminate in every heart where, because of our failure, maybe because of weakness, maybe brokenness, maybe sin, whichever the failure is, because of that we've kind of blocked your love to us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate that in our hearts and show us, God, where we've misunderstood the fact that you love us in our frailty. You just allow the Holy Spirit to show you those things. Holy Spirit, we ask you to illuminate in our hearts if we've adopted a theology which says, because I can't get it right, I'm not going to try to get it right. And there's just going to be grace for me to keep on getting it wrong. Holy Spirit, just illuminate where we've not realize that you do give us the grace to overcome sin. Show us areas of surrender. Show us areas where we've given up rather than surrender to you. And in our hearts, we sometimes realize, especially when there's failure, we realize that we are unable. That's what failure shows us. It shows us our inability. And there is not an option of going back to yourself and trying to fix it. You might think that's an option, but that's never going to work. And you'll somewhere you'll realize that that doesn't work. So there's only two options, and they are both options of surrender. The one is surrendering to the weakness or the sin or the brokenness. The other one is surrendering to Christ. When we surrender to the sin, we give up, or the weakness or the brokenness. When we surrender to Christ, it's when we can actually start walking in that victory. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you also show us where in our hearts have we kept on in a cycle of going back to our own strength and trying to resolve it. And show us where we've surrendered to the weakness or the sin instead of surrendering to you. You just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And Jason, if you can put that last clip for us, the 2:11:30, that one. Just going to watch so you saw the beginning of the movie, this is the end. It's still narrated by John the disciple, the beloved. And then when that's done, if the band can play, so straight after the movie, we're just going to go into a time of prayer. And I want to encourage you when we pray. So the band will be playing, but you don't necessarily have to sing. We're not going to necessarily have the words up. It's more for you to pray, spend time with God. And I really want to encourage you. I'm going to give a bit of time for that before I close off the service. If you want to go and lie down, if you want to dance, if you want to sit, if you want to stand, you close your eyes, if you want to lie on your back, please let every idea of what are they going to think about me just go. It's just your time with God. And I believe just take all these things to Jesus. I believe he started a work now. But when we go into that time with him, just let him do the work. So your part in that, you can't make things happen. So when we're going to go into that prayer time, if you don't quit, you win. That's your part. So don't become too panicky about distractions. Just when the distractions come, just go say, Holy Spirit, just lead this trail of thought, please. And sometimes it will be an actual distraction, and the Holy Spirit will just readjust his path and work with your distraction and just still get to his destination that actually happens. Just surrender. Just keep on surrendering. Don't strive. Just relax into his presence. When we come to Jesus, when we pray, we worship, the enemy, of course, doesn't want that. That is why it's not always just completely easy. And sometimes we'll put some barriers in front of us where either you feel tired, so you just feel like sleeping, or in some way you just want to exit in your mind. You want to clutch out. And the only thing you have to do is not do that. So when it happens, just keep coming back to God. It's going to be easier than it is at home because the band will be playing. They will be facilitating the presence of God, and this is a consecrated space. So it's probably going to be easier for you than if you try it at home. But you should try it at home as well. But so the only thing you need to do is if you don't quit, you win. So let's watch the clip, and then we'll just go into some time of prayer. And then we'll speak again afterwards. Thank you. some of us, just want to encourage us, if you feel like you're hitting a wall, some of the questions that you can just ask God is, God, who are you? Jesus, who are you? You can say, God, who am I? Jesus, who am I? How do you see me? God, what are you saying? And I just want to encourage you to have a conversation with God. You don't have to. Those of you who the Lord is really busy with something else, you're welcome to continue with that. But if you feel like you've hit a wall, just have a conversation with God. And for some people like me, it's even better if I write down what he says, because otherwise I get confused in my mind. And for people like me, it's even better to do it out loud. God, who are you? And then whatever answer comes, write it down. God, why are you that? Or how are you that in my life? God, who am I? How do you see me? What are you saying about me? Why do you say that? Ask a question, wait for an answer, write it down or note it, and then ask the next question. So I want to encourage you in that. anyone here this morning who felt in this time that actually you can't connect, or maybe it feels boring to you, maybe it feels disappointing, you had an expectation and that didn't happen. Is there anyone like that? I just want to encourage you that God is pleased with you. Every person here this morning came to God's house, came with an expectation, and you were willing to engage with God, and He's pleased with that. Father, I pray over those people. I thank you, Lord, for your encouragement this morning.